Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, hello, best people I know. Yes, that would be you. And the best people that I know who have written books want to be a bestseller. I know I do. So today, it's all about making your book a bestseller. And we have the go-to guy, Warren Whitlock. You've seen him everywhere. I think he has like 100,000 followers on Twitter. My goodness. But he's here with us to give us all of his secrets and tools and tips to be a bestseller. And why do we want to do that? Because if you've taken the time to write a book, you have a message. And your message can't help people. You can't bring all of those pearls of wisdom that you have. Nobody knows that it's there. And in today's technology, it's important to have an expert who's been there and done that. And Warren is that person. And before I read his bio, I just want to remind you that if you call 347-637-1318, 347-637-1318, we can take your questions live. I know that in promoting the show, I've had a lot of people type me their questions if they couldn't be here live. I've actually got a few in my hand right now, so I'll ask those or you can type them in the chat. And be sure to mark us as a favorite. Hit the little like button there so that, you know, people know that we're here to help them be the best too. And then if you follow the show, that would be so awesome. I would really be grateful because we add shows and we have some unexpected shows coming up on Fridays and Wednesdays like today. And you get the worry-free updates. And it's just really fantastic to get the worry-free updates and have more choices. And that would be great. And also, I want to thank everybody, if you're a regular listener or if you're a new listener, we're here as a service to you. And we cannot succeed if you're not here sharing the wisdom and the strength. So tell a friend. We're over 10,000 listeners now, and I am so grateful. And that doesn't even include iTunes. And if you like the show, you have suggestions, write your comments and rate us on iTunes. And you can find us right there on Best People We Know under iTunes. And get your mind vitamins on the go. So, wow. Well, let's get going because we have a lot of work to do here. Let me tell you about Warren, the amazing Warren. His mission is, well, first of all, you know that he's the go-to guy to make your book a bestseller. And his mission is to help authors and businesses improve the results of their offline and online marketing programs. Warren is a number one best-selling author himself, so he knows how to do it. He's done it himself. He's also a very well-known speaker, publisher, blogger. He's a social media marketing strategist. You can visit him at his website, Warren Whitlock, which is just filled with all sorts of free tips, resources, and coaching opportunities with Warren one-on-one. And he's been an entrepreneur in the computer publishing and media industry. He started his career in broadcast advertising, developing cross promotions between two or more businesses, and has used the same strategies in direct mail and other media, and that's what he's going to help us with today as well. Over the past decade, Warren has taught thousands of small businesses, authors, and individuals how to use proven direct marketing principles to promote products and services. He started a trade association for manufacturers in the imaging products industry, and he served on several executive boards. He's very well respected, and he can be part of your success. You can just call in today to speak with him and go to his great website, as I said, warrenwhitlock.com. And it is my pleasure to introduce everybody to Warren. Hi, Warren. How you doing today?
Oh, great to be here. Thank you. And you promised that in this short interview, I'm going to be able to reveal everything I know and all my secrets. So I'm going to give some fast answers.
Because you're just that kind of an awesome guy. You know, the guests on the Best People We Know radio show, they give value, value, value. I mean, people come away at the end of this show saying, whoa, how did I ever live without listening to Devin or guests?
Well, some would say that I can sum up all that I know in much less than 45 minutes, but I tend to have a big ego and think it'll take that much time, but I'll give you everything I can. I'm here to help.
You're so funny. And let's let people know, because we've already got people in the chat room, people calling in and everything. I just want to make sure people understand that you have a great radio program as well on BTR. And can you tell people how to get to that as well?
Sure. It's real simple. My show is at blogtalkradio.com/Warren, just my first name.
Great. Awesome. Okay, well, listen, Warren, I'm going to use myself as an example here. You can definitely, you know, say whatever you want in my real-life example. I myself have a book, and it's won a couple of national book awards with Indie Next Generation last year, USA Best Books. And, you know, I'm really excited about that. That's a real gift. It's a humble privilege. But it's not a bestseller. And I know a lot of my friends, a lot of people have written amazing books, but they're not bestsellers. And everybody wants to be a bestseller for obvious reasons. But tell us why books aren't bestsellers, and give us the top five things to help us become a bestseller, and then, of course, how you, working with you, can make that happen.
Wow. Is every question going to be that loaded? That's a lot. Let me see what I can do here. Let's start off with the first thing. Before you do anything else, the minute that you decide you have a message to share with the world, get online, do it. I mean, you obviously are doing one of the things we recommend all the time. Have your own radio show, interview other experts, and shine the light on other people whenever you can. Help out, leave blog comments, network with people on Twitter and Facebook. All of this is part of being an author today. The big myth is that if you write a good enough book, people will find it and share it. That just will not happen. Currently in circulation is probably over 1 million manuscripts. Out of that, about 400,000 get published. That includes all the self-publishing and everything that happens. That equals about 1,100 books per day, and there's no breaks there. That's 365 days a year. So with 1,100 books each and every day coming out, there's no way that a book just based on its merits are going to be noticed. So everybody from the major publishers down to anybody considering self-publishing has to learn that it's about the platform and the author, not about the book. And I like to put it this way. If somebody's going to buy a book, chances are they have not read what's inside. So no matter how good it is, they're not going to be familiar with that. And with so many options, so many things to choose from, and then we all like the idea of, you know, going and browsing in a bookstore and looking through several pages of a book, reading a bit and falling in love with it and reading it. And the truth is most books are not sold that way. And even if you do get a chance to share a sample with somebody, doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to find the right book just because there's so many choices out there. On the other hand, if you sell on everything that's outside of the book, you've got a much better chance.
Wow. Well, you know, you have can you have a loaded answer? Because, I mean, that's a lot of information. The first thing for people to understand is that you can have a great book, but that doesn't mean that people are going to automatically find it. It's almost more important to have a great platform and social connection than it is even the book. So it's never too late or too early to get working with you know, connecting with your readers or who would be your niche market.
It might be too late. if you reach the point that you're broke and have no money and no income and you're trying to sell a book and you've got a cases of books in your garage, that might be too late for you. You might have to give up. But obviously you're absolutely right about saying it can't be too early. Even if the book never gets finished and written and published, starting off on this way of doing it is the best way to be sharing your message with the world. It's the platform. It is not the book. And, you know, ask anyone in publishing, they're going to be saying the same thing. Another way to look at it is Tom Brokaw recently became a best-selling author. In fact, I just saw the number of years I've been using this this example, and I was shocked how time is. But there was a time when Tom Brokaw was the guy that we saw on TV every night, you know, for decades. And he decided he wanted to write books. Well, he got big advances, and his books sold extremely well. And I hold that those books would have sold no matter what he had written about. Maybe if he decided, you know, how to raise your pet chia, maybe they wouldn't have sold quite as well, but who knows? It's really about us wanting to read and see what Tom Brokaw or, say, you know, the ex-president or anybody like that, somebody that's already famous, is writing about. So a lot of books are sold that way. That's the obvious way. So if you're not on TV every night, if you're not nationally known for, you know, holding a political office or sleeping with somebody that holds a political office, or, you know, if you haven't fell down in the right place in public, it's going to be difficult for people to notice who you are. And the good news is the people who care, the people that you really want to get your message to, are already out there online. They're looking for the answers. So find out where people are looking for your answers in your niche, and then go and speak to those people. They're already online, guaranteed. No matter what it is you want to write about, there is a group of people online discussing it right now and looking for help.
Okay. Well, you know, those are all – I love your analogies too, Tom Brokaw. Yeah. Well, you know, the common person is not on TV, but there are some real great experts who have a message to share. And, you know, towards what you said, it really is a connecting with that person. So how do you go about finding if that audience is – the key component in being successful to creating a bestseller book? How can you do that? And how can you do that, as you said, without breaking the bank? Because most people don't have millions of dollars or the fame or that type of name to be able to do this. But people are doing it. So
tell us how. The good news is that everybody that has a message to share has the tools already. You found this show on your computer. You have an internet connection. So I assume you're in the still the majority of the world doesn't have that. So count your blessings. You have a computer and an internet connection. You can connect. You know, it's not about paying a lot of money. It's about whether or not you are willing to be the person that provides the answers. The first thing I would suggest is that you do a search on the keywords for your topic. And if you don't know what the keywords are, start by finding out what that is. What are the frequently asked questions that somebody would ask? And I try to imagine if you work in a – this happened to me before. I owned a computer store, and people would come in, and, in fact, it was a constant pressure to figure out how to not get asked for me by name because they knew I owned the store. But what I found was every person walked in the door would ask one of three or four questions every time they came in, over and over and over again. And at the time, I thought it was monotonous. And when websites were new, we learned how to do frequently asked questions and say, you know, don't bother us. Here it is on the website, or here's a pamphlet. Here's the frequently asked questions. That's what people are looking for. And they're looking for that online right now. You can go to Google AdWords, and you don't need to buy any ads, but you can use their AdWords selection tool to find what the most common things searched are that you could buy ads for, and those same keywords will be the words that people are going to ask about. Then get the most common questions that people are asking about it and do searches on that. There are blogs, there are directories, there are forums, there are radio shows. There are groups of people talking about it. There are people using those words when they tweet on Twitter. There's groups on Facebook discussing whatever it is that you're an expert about. Go and figure out a way to serve those people. The more you serve them, the more they're going to be attracted to you. Once they're attracted to you, you build your tribe out of that. Those will be the best readers for your book.
Service,
if you'd like, I'll give you an example of how we did it with Twitter Revolution.
Oh, I would. I think would. I'd love to. Go ahead. Sounds great.
Well, Twitter revolution back in February of 2008. I'd been on Twitter for a while, and I, you know, as a publisher, I thought, I wonder where the books are and whether I should be buying books or, you know, I wasn't really thinking about writing a book per se, but I went to Amazon and I typed in the word Twitter, and I got one result. There is a bird in a children's book called Twitter. And I thought, well, that's not, obviously not about Twitter.com. Wow, no books on Twitter. I could be the first. And so I immediately went out to Twitter and said, you know, and started looking at who I knew that was really good at using Twitter. And, you know, then I had one friend, Coach Deb, on Twitter. And she's Deb Michik is her name, but she goes by Coach Deb on Twitter. And, and I found out that she was just, you know, an extraordinary user of Twitter. I had her. I didn't really know her very well, but I sent her a Twitter message and said, would you like to help me write a book on Twitter? And she said, well, that sounds interesting. And we had one phone call, worked out how we were going to do it, and then used Twitter, blogs, Facebook, a blog talk radio show. That's how my blog talk radio show got started, to interview all the people that were already using Twitter back 3 years ago. From that, we collected what, you know, what people were asking about, what they knew. We started off by calling it Twitter Handbook. And so today you can go to twitterhandbook.com look at my blog there for current entries. If you really dig deep enough, you'll see there's some entries back when we started it where we put up ideas for chapters. How are you using Twitter to market? We found out there was quite a backlash about saying that you were selling or marketing. It was about networking. But we got the answers. We then invited experts on our program, and we did some Ustream with Deb sitting at the beach, and we did we had video, and then we did some a couple of webinars where we could go and look at applications and have people talk about them in the chat room. But what we settled on was the Blog Talk Radio format because it was easy enough to do, and I have a face for radio, so worked out just fine. And so whenever we found somebody that was interesting to talk to that really understood social media and Twitter, we invited them on. We recorded it. We then transcribed those interviews and used them as part of the book. We had within 30 days more than enough material to complete a whole book. We actually took extra time because the publicity and the fun of putting this all together just propelled us. All we had to do when the book came out was announce it, first of all, to the people that are already signed up at our website that wanted to know about it, and we gave them all a preview copy of the book before it came out, and they started telling their friends about it. By the time our book was released, it was a bestseller. It was released in the PR category, and it was in the top five for, you know, oh, several months, better part of a year, as the first book out on Twitter. After that, we really haven't done any other promotion for the book because we're not in the Twitter business. I wrote the Twitter book to establish myself as knowing something about social media so that I could go ahead and network with the bloggers and the other people, because I knew that the future of selling books was to get to know the people that are thought leaders online. And it's just paid off in spades. We've sold about 10 times as many books as we expected. And, now both Deb and I are asked to speak on social media and, had to change the focus of what we do, each of us do in our business because of it, because we got so well known from doing it. There are people out there that are dying to find out about what it is that you're an expert on. If you'll just, you know, open up and listen and then get into a conversation with them.
Wow, that is such a great, I'm sure everybody listening is feeling the same excitement as I am. That is just such a great example. Talk about real world examples of really doing everything practicing what you preach. That's fantastic. And, not everybody has discovered you maybe right at the beginning of creating their book. Maybe they already have a book written, or maybe their book is coming out. And I think that everything that you said is absolutely overwhelming. But I'm just wondering, for those who've asked about this, I guess you would say promotional programs to make people Amazon bestsellers. I get a lot of those emails in the mail where people are trying to help each other to bring awareness. What is that all about, and does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. Advertising still works. You know, I'm looking at your show as we're talking on websites. I mean, it's flashing up pictures of you and me and your book and all sorts of things, and then there's more ads, and you know, they're there because those work. You know, you may hear some expert saying about whether or not ads worked as good as they used to, or whatever, is email dead? No, all of it works. Anything that you're seeing on a regular basis, I'll go back to my great hero in advertising, David Ogilvy, back when I got started, read his book, Confessions of an Ad Man, he wrote in the 1960s. And it just, what really turned me on, one thing above everything else in there, was when he said, if you really want to know how advertising works, instead of just pretty ads, go to the back of the magazine. Again, this is in the 1960s, so it was magazines he was talking about. Go to the back of the magazine and look for the mail order ads, and then find an issue that's 4 months old or a year old and see if the same ads are in there. The ads that are repeated, you know, are making money, because those guys have to pay for the ads out of the sales of whatever product they have. It's not branding. It's not getting known. And I've used that theory in all of the advertising I've done, all the marketing I've done ever since, is that marketing should be paying off in terms of something happening. Today, it is so simple to work on things that get you known and have that translate into something else that we do a lot of things that without worrying too much about what the results are. But I hold that if you measure your results and find out what it is that people respond to, today you can do that simpler than ever, because you can put out a tweet and see whether or not it gets replied to or retweeted, and you know, you find out what works. And you find out what works and you repeat that over and over again. So back to the what makes a bestseller. If you have millions of dollars and you buy lots of ads, people will go and buy the book. Unless there's some, you know, something really wrong with it, like, you know, Oprah comes on and says, whatever you do, don't buy the book. Maybe your book won't sell. But for the most part, when you buy millions of dollars worth of advertising, some books will sell. What we've found is in books, most people don't buy it as a commodity. This is the best book, get it on sale. While we all like to go to the store that's having a sale on books, we don't pick the book we buy based on the sale. It's not about getting a good deal on the book, because let's face it, at $30 for a book, you can get information that can transform your life in just a few pages out of one book. You know, it is an incredible bargain if you find the right piece of information in a book. Somebody might spend years becoming an expert in something and then write it in one little book that you buy for $20 or $30. It's not about the value of what's in there. The reason we buy is because of a connection. So what we do when we launch a book and make it a bestseller, it's a publicity stunt. We get a lot of people to recommend the book at the same time. I'll tell you what we found, that if you're an unknown author and you pay and you have your book promoted, it will become a bestseller, but you won't stay famous or be able to do much with that unless you do something. I mean, at very least, if you put on your website that you are a best-selling author after you do it, that might be something. I've worked with authors who have done all those processes, and then when I ask them how's business, you know, their coaching business or whatever, you know, how many new customers have you got? How's that working for you? They say, well, you know, I haven't set up the coaching business yet. I was waiting until I was well-known. And that's just completely backwards. The right way to do things is to start off with marketing, to build a business process that converts people who are interested into customers, gives them a chance, and then instead of begging for business, go ahead and get well known for giving value, and people will come out of the woodwork looking for you. And ultimately, you'll find out that it works well enough that you can buy ads and convert it to sales. And please, whatever you do, don't think that if you write a good enough book, people will read the book and then come spend money with you. It's not about what's inside the book. I love reading a good book. I wouldn't dare tell you to write anything other than the very best book possible. But the truth is, people don't do business with you because of the quality of your book or the award that you've won. They do business with you because something resonates with them that you can solve their problem. And they're not going to get that out of reading the book. They're going to get it out of the things external to the book. So set that up first and then go ahead and do whatever publicity you can to go ahead and share helping other people. And you'll become the most attractive person in your niche.
Awesome. Well, we're with Warren Whitlock, and whether you're listening live or on iTunes downloading the show, we're going to be right back with Warren, and you can call in with your question, 347-637-1318, or type it in the chat and find out how to make your book a bestseller.
Do you want to change your life and transform your challenges into celebrations? You can with the right guidance system. Check out Deb Scott's award-winning book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, turning your upside-down world right side up. Readers on Amazon.com give The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue 5-star rave reviews. Visit Deb at greenskyandbluegrass.com to get a copy and sign up for her free mind vitamin newsletter. Get The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue and step into your greatness today. Go to greenskyandbluegrass.com now.
Okay. Well, I have to say, that's my commercial in there, Warren. What can you...
Well, it's always okay to put the ads. I would never apologize for doing it, and you didn't, but I said I would never. And I'm crassly a self-promoter. I want you to come to my Blog Talk Radio show. I want you to come to bestsellerauthors.com. I want you to follow me on Twitter. And I've got nothing against any of that. However, what I have found is the more that you can focus on the other person, the better it's going to work out. And you're showing an excellent example of it. And by the way, as I'm listening to the ad and looking at the thing flash on the screen here, yeah, what a great title for a book. I really like that. The sky is green and the grass is blue, or did I say it backwards?
No, you got it. That's it.
Okay.
Supposed to make you pause and reflect. What was that again? Let me think about that.
Well, that's the best advice I give for a title and a cover is it's supposed to get somebody's attention because you need to count on people not reading the book. I mean, you just can you can take that to the bank. If you sell 100 copies of the book and 10 people read it and 2 people's lives are changed, it's well worth it. It's a good thing. And whether or not they become customers or whatever the goal is that you have, that's all a good thing, and you got to keep doing it. What you have to remember is if you don't sell the book to the 90 people that don't read it, the 10 will never get it. And so all of the information, all of the suggestions that you have to offer, somebody else is talking about, somebody else has posted it on Google in bits and pieces. You've got a nice, unique title, but, I can't think of any other books called that. But, there are other people talking about, life being turned upside down or turning your life upside down or being all that you can be, all of those kind of promises. But what resonates is that it's a different person and you're somebody that I talk to. So if I was looking for help, the kind of help that you provide, the mere fact that we've had this conversation would put you ahead of everybody else. We want to do business with people that we know, like, and trust. The book is one way to get to know people, but I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Quite often I'll read a book and I'm in the middle of it, especially since I've, started doing so much online networking. I immediately want to know, where is their blog? Where can I find out more about them? Where can I connect with them? And it's disappointing to go online and find out the person's got a corporate-looking blog where they posted 3 times 2 years ago, and you're pretty sure that was written by somebody else, and it's mostly an announcement that the book is now available. And you go like, I like this author. I'd like to get to know her. I'd like to have more interactions and perhaps spend some more money. It's as simple as that. If you'll just go out and try to help other people, make sure you're available for the people that are dying to find out a solution to the problem you can solve, the simple ones, then out of that, a certain percentage will buy whatever it is you're selling.
You know, you've said so many times now, and I absolutely love it. You're refreshing my entire spirit. Give people what they want, and then everything else falls into place. And I really don't think that it's an old-fashioned, out-of-date way to be. Honesty, being transparent, being passionate, being authentic, being enthusiastic, caring about somebody else. I don't know when that stuff went out of style, but when you give me an example, you know, really, I mean, these are fashions that are
really
always
did. If you try to look back at how we did business a couple hundred years ago, you know, there was a time when everybody grew their own food, and then some stores appeared. And, you know, my reading of history says that there were carpetbaggers, there were, you know, flim-flam men that went from town to town as merchants trying to sell things to people. But for the most part, you didn't trust them. You did trust Sam Drucker at the general store. That's my old TV reference. In Green Acres, the Hooterville General Store, and Sam Drucker was somebody who you didn't worry about this guy gouging you. You certainly didn't think, you know, he didn't have too much of a problem with shoplifting, and you didn't think this guy was gonna, you know, leave town and not care about you. Why? Because Sam was there for his whole life, even as he became a merchant, and he actually made doing business more legitimate than some out of town guy coming and trying to push product on you, because you didn't trust the guy who sold stuff from the back of the truck. You trust the guy that you know. And the reason Sam didn't have a shoplifting problem is he was married to your cousin. You're going to see this guy in church and at family picnics. You didn't dare go into a store and steal something, you know. And so he was part of the community. And what happened in the 20th century, we got very good at mass. We did mass production, assembly line production, mass distribution, because today you can order just about anything you want and have it delivered to your house. And, you know, not too long ago that was difficult. You know, you might be able to go to a mall or a supermarket, but just getting anything at your house was hard. And so even before the Internet, that started to come online. But with the Internet, it's really made it simple. I can't think of, you know, hardly anything I can't go online and order if I can trust the person I'm ordering it from. And I've literally done, you know, deals worth hundreds of thousands of dollars by using the Internet to connect with people. And then the other thing is mass communication. And if you think about broadcasting, with the exception of maybe the telephone, telegraph, that kind of media is two-way by definition. Most of it was about pushing out one direction. So whoever had the biggest tower with the biggest transmitter or the biggest printing press and had the most subscribers was the one that won. And so it's only natural, since we all grew up in that environment, to think about, well, the way to win is to sell the most copies of my book and have the most listeners to my radio show and the most number of people coming to my website. And, you know, as we're talking about it, we develop terms like targeting your market, and, you know, it's a target. I don't want to paint a target on my customers. And getting eyeballs to see to see your ad and getting traffic, you know, like trafficking. Isn't that what they do with drugs? I mean, it's not about friendly. On the other hand, none of us have ever really been that way. When I go to a website, it's me. I'm not traffic. I'm me going to a website. I'm filling out the form. I'm putting in my personal email address. I'm communicating with somebody. I've learned to accept that quite often I'm going to hear from a robot or a person that's like a robot. We've all experienced that thing when we call up a major corporation and we get treated like a number, and we hate it. And we'd much rather call, if I have a problem with my with my bank, I much rather call somebody that I know, regardless of what department they work in, and ask them what to do. I used to have a friend that was a executive at Southern California Edison. I lived in Southern California, and this guy lived near me. And I used to ask that guy all sorts of questions, and he said, why do you keep asking me stuff like this? Because you're the guy I know. we talked about why my bill was screwed up, and, I mean, he actually worked 60 miles away as an executive doing IT stuff. I knew that he had nothing to do with why my bill was wrong.
That's so great.
He was the guy I was going to talk to. And we all want to do business with Sam Drucker. We don't want to do business with the big nameless corporation. And a book is just the perfect way to establish that kind of relationship. But the secret is it's not the book and the content in it. Yes, we'd love to have everybody read our books and spend a few hours with us, getting to know us, but they can get to know you much better by having a conversation with you on Twitter. I almost said following you on Twitter, because following you is just like broadcasts. But you don't want to put out broadcast messages. You want to answer people's individual messages. And once I learned about this and I started answering simple questions, Twitter became just so easy to use. This is back before I wrote the book. I went on one day, and I had been trying to find the bloggers and the thought leaders and the people I wanted to connect with. Guy Kawasaki, one of my favorite authors, is on Twitter having conversations with people. And I could ask him a question and he'd answer it. And I go, wow. And I tried to use that sparingly because I don't want to wear out my welcome with somebody famous that I got to talk to. And, I remember the day that Zappos decided to start getting followers. That's Tony, the CEO of Zappos.com, who I just went there yesterday. What a culture they have. They do everything to help the customer that they possibly can. It's all about wowing the customer and helping them out. While they do millions and even billions of dollars now of sales online, they're there trying to help out the customer. Well, one of the people I wanted to get to know that looked like somebody that I would want to connect with was Stephanie Agresta out of New York City, PR person, said, this sounds like a good contact, the kind of person I'd like to connect with. But I was looking, how do I connect? I don't say, hey, I've got a book I want you to read. I didn't have a book. I didn't have any reason to talk to her. I could just tell she was the kind of person I wanted to get to know. And one day, it just happened. I didn't even notice it was her at first. I just noticed that in my Twitter stream, I was following 50 people at the time, it said, I have a MacBook. I wonder if the cover is washable. Well, I used to own a computer support company. I know how to answer questions like that. I Google the keywords. It took me about 2 seconds to come up with an answer. I put the URL for the answer, and I had room left over. Didn't even have to use a URL shortener. Had room left over in the 140 characters to say, did you know you could Google this? And about 30 seconds later, I got back an answer from Stephanie Agresta that said, well, of course. But this is more fun.
I love it.
And I realized that was it. I had a personal connection with a person that I didn't know how I was ever going to connect with. Now, it turned out that, Steffi and I have not done any business together. I met her 2 years later. She could barely remember that it happened. And I had to find out. In fact, at the time I was saying there was this famous person, I can't remember her name. It had got that far. And then that was at Blog World in 2009 and Blog World in 2010. We wound up being on a panel together. It's somebody that I know still. No business, no promotion. She hasn't retweeted me in any special way or anything like that. Other than I can say we're somewhat connected. It wasn't about going after a person and getting that person. It was about providing a service and getting known for that. Now
that's amazing,
on Twitter,
Warren.
I'm known for helping.
I wanted to make sure, because I know that there's somebody that's on the switchboard that wants to speak with you. And I didn't mean to interrupt, but I love your whole philosophy of maybe let's try to do the right thing for the right reason. Let's just really do things because we actually care. Let's give away the knowledge that we have. Let's make the person and the relationship the most important priority. And then everything else will happen after that, instead of doing it the other way around or the upside down, right side up theory, I guess. But, you just bring so much. I'll have to have you come back on because we'll have to do another hour. But can you take a call, Warren?
I'd love to.
Okay, this somebody, I think it must be a Skype because it's coming up 111 on the switchboard. You're on the air now with Warren.
Hey, Deb, it's Tia Starr. And hey, Warren, how you doing?
All right.
I'm listening to the show, and I got to admit, exactly what he's saying, it makes sense, even down to the point about the importance of the personal touch, which is absolutely missing in today's market. And so I was actually just tuning in via phone because I couldn't really get on Skype, if Skype really wanted to. But I just wanted to just say I absolutely agree with you. And in regards to what you said you're doing now with social networking, I mean, you're twisting it around, obviously, to use for positive aspects. How do you implement that and teach that to others and replicate it? I mean, it's a great sharing of knowledge.
Well, it's fairly simple. If you're an expert on something, start following other people who are experts on that. Remember, when you talk about social media, still the larger social media out there is blogs.
Right.
I don't know, you might count Facebook first, but, you know, the most number of sites and people using something is blog. And certainly the most amount of time spent developing content is blog. So no matter what your niche is, find those, you know, the 10 top people in your niche. And if they're too big in names and they don't read their own comments, you know, and answer their own comments and stuff, skip them and move down to somebody that has. The second 100 probably is more responsive than the first 100. And it's not about getting numbers of people. It's about finding people who are thought leaders in what you do. So just like I picked Stephanie Agresta because she was somebody that looked important that I wanted to follow, you know, it was so easy to put that person on my list. I just click on the follow button and I'm following them on Twitter. If they follow me back, fine. If not, fine. I then look for questions they're asking that I can answer. It doesn't have to be about washing your MacBook cover, but it doesn't necessarily need to be about, hey, how can I buy your product?
Right.
In fact, the farther away that it is from somebody wanting to connect to try to do business with you, the better, because these like connections need to be like building rapport. So,
relationships.
Yeah, and that's how you build a relationship. And if you think about it, when we look at Twitter the first time, I said what everybody says. Why would people care what somebody else is having for breakfast? But when I talk to my friends, yeah, I'm very likely going to say, hey, how are you doing today? Where'd you go for breakfast? How was the flight in? You know, how's the weather where you are? All nonsense to anybody outside of the conversation. Yeah, if you'll just go ahead and, you know, of course you want to promote yourself and do business, but you don't make that your lead thing and put that off as much as you can. And Chris Brogan, who wrote Trust Agents and has become extremely well-known, his book went to New York Times bestseller the week it came out, started off as a blogger and podcaster helping people. And he says, promote somebody else 12 times for every time you promote yourself.
Amen. I agree. You should pour out. I mean, well, Deb, you already know. yeah, huge in the giving back. But I agree with you 100%. But I think what I like what you're doing with how you see twisting around with Twitter is you're actually taking back to somehow you're finding a way, because most people would say that it's a way of removing people from dealing with each other face-to-face. But actually you're saying you're utilizing it in a way to connect and build relationships with people instead.
I'll give you one more secret for using Twitter. When you do a search on Twitter, use search.twitter.com, and you can use the advanced search, and it has everything that a Google search would have. The search is just fantastic. But the one trick that I like to use is to use a question mark in a space, a question mark in a space. If you do that, you will find only tweets that have a question mark in them, and you'll find people are asking questions. And you start answering those questions, and people will say, wow, here's somebody who – cares enough to answer questions. That's the simplest thing to do.
Wow. Okay. I like that. Well, thanks, Deb, for letting me get in. And thanks again, Warren, for taking my question. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Tia Starr of the Tia Starr Network. Everybody has to Google Tia. She's a good friend of ours, everybody, and she's awesome. And thank you for calling in and asking. That was a great question. We have the best people on our show, don't we? Good name for
the
show,
do.
Best People We Know show. All right. Thank you so much, Tia. Bye-bye.
All righty, thanks.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, I I love my listeners, Warren. Speaking of feeling the love and guests like yourself, too. I can't believe we're at the end of our time together, and there's just so much that we haven't covered, although the things that you have told us have been absolutely overwhelming. So I just need to make sure for people who are just having this insatiable appetite to learn all of your wisdom, connecting with you, how to do that, your books, your services, and all
sure.
that great stuff.
Sure. The simplest thing is I'm on Twitter. If you're using Twitter, at Warren Whitlock, WarrenWhitlock, and if you put at Warren Whitlock in a tweet, I get it. I will respond. Don't worry about how many other people are on there. Every conversation I have is a one-on-one conversation. I spend most of my time on Twitter answering questions and talking to people who have taken the time to include me in the conversation. If you put my name in something just to get my attention to what you're trying to sell, it's a really good chance I'll report you for spam. Don't do that. But anything else, in fact, if you say, will you take a look at my website, I'll answer you back that that's probably not the best way to approach somebody you want to get to know, but we will have a conversation. You know, don't spam. Come on, have a conversation, ask questions, and we'll get to know each other. And I do that with, you know, 50 to 100 people a day on Twitter. That's what I'm there for. My show's blogtalkradio.com/Warren, and my website for my company is bestsellerauthors.com. Authors is plural, bestsellerauthors.com. And I blog there and lots of other places. But it's easy to find me if you do a search for, bestseller book expert. I'm the guy that comes up number one. And I've got, 625,000 listings for my name. So I think, if there's somewhere you got to be able to find me. But let's engage.
I think we should be able to find you. And I think the first place, people need to be listening to this show and sharing this show with a friend, because I'll tell you, this was packed. You have got so much wisdom, and I just love your common sense approach to treating people, like they really exist and are worthwhile to know and to get to know, and the value that you bring, it's why you have 65,000 search engine results, right?
Well, it's because I post a whole lot. That's how you get those. But it's all individual conversations. People say, how do you follow 75,000 people? I go like, I don't. I follow one person at a time. Somebody who's mentioned something. And I do searches and talk to people outside of those that ask me questions. But for the most part, there's just people that are out there looking for help. You're able to help them. It's as simple as that. Same as you would do if you were at the PTA meeting and somebody said, where can I get that handbag you have? You're going to tell them. It's as simple as that. And if you treat people like people, treat them decent, and by all means, make sure you listen to Deb Scott's radio show. That's the best way to get ahead in this life. And you do that, and you're going to come out fine. Thanks for having me on the show.
Warren, you are the best. You're just an awesome guest. Well, listen, I hope that everybody listening enjoyed the show as much as I did. And we learned a lot and we had some fun too. And when you're the best in life and you're sharing your one-of-a-kind shine, you're going to feel great and the people around you are going to feel great. So that's why we all have to help each other. And this show is here as a service to you. So make sure you tell a friend. And want to thank you again, Warren, and we'll be all on Twitter now. That's going to be our assignment. We're all going to say, hello, thank you. We really appreciated you being with us today and throwing some gratitude to you, because it's really wonderful what you're doing and bringing back good, authentic integrity to the business of living. And I think that that's what it's about. So it's no wonder you're such a great success and helping other people be a success too. So thank you very, very much. Okay, well, make sure that you check us out tomorrow. Tomorrow's show is with Amanda Graybill. And Amanda is, she is the CEO of the Little Black Dress Society. She helps women who maybe have been abused or had some violence in their life. And she's going to help heal the hurt tomorrow. So make sure that if you have a friend that can really get a lot out of this show that you invite them. It's at 11 a.m. tomorrow, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 11 if you can, or on replay, and go out and make it a great day. Be yourself, as Oscar Wilde said, because everybody else is already taken. Bye.
Thank
and
you for
God
listening
bless.
To the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.